Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all right? It's the second last time week that we will be covering this area of love. Hopefully, it has been useful. And hopefully that over time, we will practice this. Okay, one of the things after the evangelistic meetings, we want to see how we can put into practice some of the principles of love that we have learned. Okay, let's stand as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, once again, to 8, and the first three words, okay? So we remember the principles of God's love as God wants to impress on our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, 8, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then 8, the first three words. Okay, ready? I'll read verse 4, and then you read verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 reads, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." Verse 5. "Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." Verse 7. Verse 8, the last three words, let's read together. "Charity never faileth." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your love has never failed us. And Lord, it is in the context of your love that we're talking about how we need to love one another. We pray, Lord, that this love would have been practiced right now by us, for those who are in the families, for those who are in the work, and Lord, even within the church, Lord, we would have be practicing, of trying to put in place things, Lord, that we need to do in order to practice your word. We pray, Lord, that as we learn today in verse 7, how that love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, Lord, that you will teach us what it means. And we'll thank you for what you're going to bless the chapel upstairs. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be in our midst, to impress on us the reality, Father, of your love in the human life. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. Okay. We've been dealing with the whole area of love. Okay, love is a very important aspect of any institution, any family. And it is said, truth is the foundation, love is the glue. And there's been a thought about talk about, can we love, at least in our discipleship group on Wednesday, we talked, can you love apart from truth? Can you actually love apart from truth? All right? Yes, you can, but you will not be having God's love. All right? When we choose to love apart from truth, we actually go away from God's love. And there'll be many, a lot of people are now touting, oh, we need to love, but no, do we love at the expense of doctrine? Okay? So today we'll be looking at this second last message on the characteristics of love, and next week we'll be looking at the final message, but hopefully we already made some decisions in our hearts. In what areas are we falling short of God's standard, and how we can actually ask God to help us to love His way? Okay? So we're going to look quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. There are four things that I think are very important within this verse, okay? In verse 4, 5, 6, where charity suffers long and is kind, we talk about different characteristics and the expression of it. But today, I believe we're going to look at four things which sometimes is very, very hard for all of us to do when it comes to love. And you find that in the realistic life situations, we have a tendency to, rather than follow what God says, actually abandon and then walk away, feeling, if you're Christians, feeling guilty as a result. But God wants to build us up, all right, and teach us what these four things means, all right? Let's look firstly, love beareth all things. God's love bears all things. The word bear have many meanings, okay? Children, what is one meaning of bear? What's one meaning of bear? Bear. The noun, the bear. Okay, not that bear. All right, not a grizzly bear, okay? But the word bear here literally means to roof over. Love means to roof over. Basically, to cover. Love covers all things. It has the meaning of not making something known. And this is what God's... This means that God's love will hide, conceal, and not to make known the faults and imperfections of others. It means that in regard to the errors and faults of another person, love, genuine God's love, will not have a tendency to notice the fault or to avenge them. There is a willingness to hide, conceal, or to bear with them patiently. When the Lord Jesus Christ knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him, let me ask you a very interesting question. Do the other disciples knew that Judas Iscariot was the traitor? Interestingly, no. Why? From this passage, we can see it's only God's love, Christ's love for Judas Iscariot that protected his reputation all the way until the last time when he revealed himself as a traitor. Think about that. In fact, it's so interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ even chose him in the first place. But you know what? That's where love is. Love covers the sin. Love has a tendency to cover it. I remember when I was small, I don't think my mom knew, but we actually had an Australian lady staying with us just for a while. I think it was my mom's friend. What? And as a young boy, I stole money from her, okay? I'm not saying young children, you go and steal. Stealing is a sin, okay? But you know what's interesting? The lady knew I took the money, but the lady never told my mom. Did you know that I stole the money? See, she had no idea. She never knew. But it's interesting, the lady knew I stole the money, but she never knew, okay? You know what I used the money for? To buy a battery-operated car. You know, those very long time ago, Joshua Poon, maybe during his birthday, so he must be very old, right? No, just kidding. You know, remember those car that you put battery in, and then you will... Then there is this little plastic steering wheel, and then there's this car, there's this light that goes inside this track. It's a black color one. This cost about $24. I still remember the price, yeah. And it was like 30 years ago. Like,
spring one.
Just,
spring one.
What was spring one?
Why?
Oh, okay. But mine is literally, there's actually cars in there, it's kind of a racing game. But you know what? I still remember the incident because I knew I took the money, but the lady did not mention even to my mom that I took the money. The love has this sense of covering up. The goal is not to cover up the sin. The goal in love is to bear with what the person did wrong. Does that make sense? We're not talking about covering up the sin, it's to be willing to be patient with the person when it's done wrong. Love doesn't broadcast the problems of others. Love doesn't highlight the imperfections of someone. Love doesn't run down others with jokes, sarcasms, or put-downs. Genuine love defends the character of the other person as much as possible within the limits of truth. I'm just trying to rush. Love defends the character of the person. Love won't lie about witnesses, but neither will it deliberately expose and emphasize them. Genuine love, God's love, protects the reputation of someone else. It will not highlight. It bears. 3 points, just very quickly. Number one, it's humanly impossible. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Okay, the passage is there, so you can refer. Moses is the Bible says the meekest man in all the world, in all of history. And he was definitely filled with God's power and God's spirit. But notice what he said. In his complaint to God, "Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers. When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me." Moses was saying, look, God, you gave me a tough deal, man. How am I supposed to deal with all these people? Humanly impossible. Sometimes people sin because the nation of Israel looked to Moses as the leader. And so they were like, Moses, you let us out. You better give us all the food that we want. And Moses looked at God and said, how am I supposed to bear? Humanly impossible. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. And I speak unto you at the time, saying, I'm not able to bear you myself alone. Moses actually highlighted to the children of Israel, I'm not able to bear. I'm not able to take. I use the word loosely. Moses said, look, I'm not able to bear all your nonsense. You know, immediately after the children of Israel was led through the Red Sea, what a powerful demonstration of God's love led by Moses. Do you realize the very next chapter, they're complaining, Moses, we don't have food to eat, we don't have water to drink. The very next chapter, they were complaining to Moses. God says, what in the world? You know, Moses said, I can't take this. Complain after complain after complain. Many times the people say, Moses, you led us to the wilderness to die. Is that true? No. Why? Many times people complain because their needs are not met. So they complain. They complain. But love bears. Love can see that these people are looking for themselves only. So in Deuteronomy 1 verse 9 to 12, Moses said, the Lord your God had multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times as many more as ye are, and bless you as he has promised you. And how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Moses was very humanly honest and said, look, I cannot bear. By the way, Moses bore the complaints of 2 million people. For us, sometimes it may just be a small group of people. You know, it's humanly impossible to. The reason why I say is because our love is human, and so whenever there's a complaint, you know, the only way to deal with it sometimes is to go and tell someone else. Genuine love doesn't do that. It will bear the sins of someone else. It will bear the weaknesses of someone else. It's humanly impossible, but divinely possible. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. When Jeremiah heard this from God, God was speaking in a context of a rebellious people. And God is saying, look, you are in captivity now because of your sin, but I've loved you with an everlasting love. I will still draw you. I will still bring you back. Do you realize that without God's love, we will never be able to bear? And that's why, when I shared this before, it's still a sad testimony, but I think it's a good testimony of what human love can do. There was this, of course, it was in Australia. I was a student, and I was seeing this child who was blind. Okay, he had cortical blindness, and I read the history. Sadly, the stepfather was so couldn't bear with the crying child, took the child and smashed him against the wall, causing him blind. He hit this part, and he was blind because he was too selfish. The father was just concerned about himself, and the child was just making his life miserable. He couldn't bear with the weakness of this child. You know, sometimes for us, in the middle of the night, when our children cry, we all say, hey, please stop crying, I want to sleep, you know. You know, something like that. We couldn't bear. Mothers who have to go through that, dads have to go through that when their children are young. But you know what? One of the things we learn, through love, we can bear. No matter how tired we are, we can bear. Because love beareth all things. Love bears all things. All things. No Christians, point number 3, under the love bearing is that we are commanded to bear. We are commanded to bear. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Listen to the words of the scriptures. We are not to please ourselves, but we that are strong in the faith ought to be willing to bear with the weaknesses. In other words, we may be, let's say, as a pastor or maybe as a youth leader or maybe someone who is very skillful in certain things, and you look at this brother and say, stop wasting my time. I can do it faster than you. Close my eyes, so I can do. That's not love. Whereas love says, no matter how slow you are, it's okay, come, let's do it again. And you bear, and you know that the person is slow, is weak, but you're willing to bear with that person. That's what it means. The Bible says, we then that are strong as believers, we ought to bear with the weakness of the weak, infirmities of the weak. The word infirmities can mean anything from physical infirmities, but in the context, it talks about character flaws. It talks about character flaws. It talks about the weakness of a person. And interestingly, and not to please ourselves. Turn to Romans 15. I'll read the rest of it. This is a very powerful passage that Paul wanted to bring across to the Roman Christians. But in Romans 15, verse 2, he goes on to say, let every one of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good to build the neighbor up. All right, that's paraphrased, but literally it means this. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, we do all things to help someone else grow. Okay? So in the way we interact with each other, God's will is that we help that person. We do what that person needs to help the person grow, given their weaknesses and infirmities and character flaws. All of us here have character flaws. Yes, including myself. I'm a sinner just like you. And so when we point our fingers at other people, look to ourselves. But we're to help one another grow. Okay? But going down to verse 3, notice Paul then gives the example of our Savior. He says, for even Christ pleased not himself. An evangelist once said, well, that's a mouthful. Jesus pleased not himself. If the Son of God, our Savior, pleased not himself. What more do we need to do that? How much more do we need to imitate that we will bear with the weaknesses of another person? Christians, we are commanded to bear with one another. Galatians 6 verse 2, the verse that Sister Shaoling brought through the Sunday school, we also talked about it. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you realize in Galatians 6 verse 1 and 2, the context is the character flaws and the stumbling into sin of a brother. Brethren, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. So when someone has fallen into sin, we which are spiritual, carrying with us the meekness of Christ, is to help the person come back. And in verse 2, immediately, bear one another's burden. The fact that the person falling into sin needs to become our burden, his burden. The person is carrying the burden of sin, we need to help him bear it so that we can, through the love of Christ, bring him back. Does it make sense? We are commanded to fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent charity among us. Why? For charity shall bear. Remember the word bear means to what? Roof over. For charity shall roof over the multitude of sins. Let me ask you one question before I move forward. Why do we bear? Why do we roof over the weaknesses of another person? Why? Is there a Bible reason why? So that that person gets a second chance. How many of you would like a second chance when you failed? That's what God says. God, taking into account our human failings, embedded a commandment for Christians, give someone a second chance. Cover that sin so that he need not have to feel. When we do wrong, what would be the natural response when it comes to a group of people? I don't want people to know, otherwise I'm very paiseh, right? You know why God says to cover the multitude of sins? It is to give that person another chance. That's what Jesus does for us, and that's what we need to do with one another. All of us is not perfect. God wants us to bear one another. Love beareth all things. In other words, God says, whatever things that you need to bear with, the witnesses, even when people offend you, you will still bear it. Okay? The next few principles are important. Number one, love beareth all things. Number two, love believeth all things. Love believeth all things. Love always trusts. Love always trusts. God's love always trusts. Okay? You know, in the practice of this, some people may say, "Wow, you're very gullible, you one. Whatever the person do, even he do wrong also, you trust him." Genuine Bible love will trust. It does not mean, not as gullibility, meaning that you're easily deceived. Whenever a person says something, you say, "Oh yeah, see, the person is so good, you know." Some people are naturally gullible. Okay? Oh, that's the person that says, "Yeah, he believed it." Then after that, he get backfired. But genuine love is not gullible. That means when a person has done something wrong, you're still accepting the person and believe in that person. There was one situation, I can remember this situation nicely. There was this boy who was really bad at baseball, okay? And the dad wanted to encourage him. But then, he was the one who blew the game away, meaning that he lost the game because he couldn't bat properly and all that, he lost the game. And but you know what, everyone knew that he wasn't very good. But when he managed to touch the ball with his baseball bat in the game, even though at the end they still lost, it was because of him, because he hit it high enough. Everyone was cheering, "What a wonderful player you are. And you know, we know you can do it," and all that kind of thing, even though he was the one who lost the game. You know, the coach and all that knew what the children were doing. And they were saying, "Let's try again." You know, the son went back, this guy who lost the game was so happy and so encouraged and all that. The key thing wasn't to... Everyone else knew he was lousy. But genuine love puts away the loss of the game, because it's just a game. And this person's confidence and encouragement was more needed at that time. Okay? Love doesn't mean gullibility. It does mean that love is not suspicious and doubting of another person's character and motives without good reason, even if the actions offended you. That's a very important thing. Humanly, we do have perceptions of other people which are not based on genuine evidence. Love eradicates that thought altogether. Love won't even entertain a negative thought about someone else. If someone comes and tells you something, the first thing you do is, "I don't believe that. I believe this person." It's not that the person is gullible, but the person is making a decision to love that person to protect his character. Okay? It does not mean that love is suspicious. It will not judge another person's motives without good reason. You know, to be clear, if trust is broken, then it needs to be earned again step by step. But it does not mean that a person who is under the influence of love is naive. In fact, a person who is able to believe in someone, like many parents still believe in their children, regardless of whether they fail or not. Why? It's not because the parents don't know the weaknesses. In fact, the parents love the child so much, say, "I know you can do it. I know you can do it." It's the love that continuously trusts. Trust. He makes no discrimination in regard to the things to be believed and is as prone to believe a falsehood as true. This is not the person, okay? Some people believe, you so easily trust people. You know, it requires a lot of faith to trust someone who cannot be trusted. Would you agree? Or to you, you have lost the trust of that person. But to have God taking control and saying, "God, still trust." But love believes, this is important. Love always believes that the person is innocent until you, with genuine evidence, can prove that the person is guilty. I say again, love will always believe that person is innocent unless you, with clear evidence, without a doubt, that the person is guilty. In other words, you always, 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 always give the person the benefit of the doubt. That's God's love. Because the moment you distrust, you break the relationship. Do you agree? The moment you cannot trust that person, you break the relationship. That's the end. But genuine love always will give that person the benefit of the doubt and will love. That's genuine love. Husband and wives, okay, this one is for Song Ling Agnes. Remember, never, never doubt. It was Asian Grace Baptist Church. And I told the Krishna, I was given a privilege of 3 to 5 minutes to encourage the church. And I said this: number one, always trust your pastor. The moment you doubt him, that's the end of your involvement. And so, because genuine love always trusts, that's what God says, love believeth all things. But love believeth the person is innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven innocent. You know, we have a tendency to hold that person guilty. See. But until the enough evidence says the person is innocent, by the time the damage is done. The damage is done. You know, with relationships, isn't it easier to say, I don't believe you did it, and to continue the relationship, rather than, I think you did it, and then block the relationship. No, by the time it's proven innocent, things would have done. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what the devil came to Eve and said, are you sure that was what God said? Satan put a doubt on the character of God in Eve's mind. God doesn't want you to know everything. Tell you what, let me give you more. God only wants you to know the good. He doesn't want you to know the evil. But when you take the fruit, you know everything. Isn't that great? God was trying to hide from you. Love always trusts. You know what Eve could have said? I'm not saying that we can do better than Eve. I'm not saying that, okay? But I'm saying this. You know what Eve could have said? No, Adam, my husband, told me that God told him they're not supposed to eat the fruit. And even though you say you can give me more, I'll trust my husband more, and I trust God more, so get lost. Because genuine love always trusts. Okay? But love believes that person is innocent until proven guilty. Let me say this, if all of us will practice that, our relationships will be maintained strongly. And Satan will have no way of getting through. If there's a problem, love doesn't jump immediately to blame the other person. Love will say, I'll hold my judgment. I will still believe that person is true until that person can give me evidence that it's wrong. But it must mean that there is, you see, when someone actually says, you know, so-and-so did this, I think that's wrong. You know what genuine love will believe that person will say? That person did that. Really? Oh, well, then there's evidence. You know what the person will say in his mind who loves that person? I believe there's a good reason why he did that. I believe that he has the intention of the other person at heart. Yeah, it may seem wrong to us, but you know, I believe that person will want to do right. Are we able to give each other the benefit of the doubt as believers? Within the family is so important because Satan's goal is to break the family. God's goal is to fill us with his love that says, still trust. The person did that because of a good intention, a good motivation, rather than a negative one. I'll read what I have. Love will always want to believe this person has good motives, and that they intend no injury, and that there's always willingness to suppose as far as possible that can be done consistently with friendship and virtue. Meaning this person will say, I will always think kind thoughts and good motives of that person, even though whatever he done was not in line with what is right, but I will always love. Doesn't mean love will cover the sin to the point of ignoring the sin. Love will deal with the sin. Remember last week? Genuine love will deal with sin. If as parents we don't deal with sin, we are not loving parents. Because God in his love had to deal with our sin, but because he knew that we will not be able to handle that, you know what he did? Love then paid for that sin. But all love wants to do is to come back, repent of your sin, okay? So, yes?
In the Bible, Jesus would ask the disciples to go and see
mm-hmm.
So the disciples would be harmless as doves, ah. But also...
Wise as serpents.
So, does it contradict?
No, it doesn't. Wise as serpents have the idea of, as I approach someone, I need to be in my mind very clear about what the situation is, and what I need to say and not to say, and how I need to behave. If I know that this will stop the gospel, I will not Paul, example, just to answer this question, then we move on. Paul, for example, when he was in Corinthian church, he didn't want to take any money from the Corinthian church for support because he knew that some of them are already spreading the gossip that, oh, this pastor only wants money. So he says, to protect my reputation and my testimony, I'll be wise, but he still preached the truth, all right? Okay, so let's move on first. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 17 and 18, let me give you an example of Jesus trusting these people. I don't know about you, but this is very, very glaringly true of God's love. Matthew 28, verse 17 and 18, when they saw him, the apostles, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore. There were in a group of apostles who actually doubted who Jesus was still. In the apostles, guess what? Jesus committed to them and said, you go and preach the gospel. You know what? Jesus trusted the apostles with the Great Commission, even though some doubted. But can I say this, at the basis of that trust, because the Lord Jesus knew that was the agency of the Holy Spirit, because when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, the apostles were going to allow the Holy Spirit to take charge. And that's why Jesus was willing to trust these people. Okay? So for us, Proverbs 17, verse 17, let me just read, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. That means in every situation, whether good or bad, whether negative or positive, whether offense or not, a friend loveth at all times. If you withdraw your friendship because of something, it's not biblical friendship. I say again, God wants, I know it's humanly impossible, because when someone hurts you, you just want to give it to that person. But the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. And we need God's help in our hearts. Okay? Therefore, a friend will trust at all times. In application, in the family, trust shows itself by not constantly grilling. I just read what I have. There was this author who wrote it nicely, so I'm just going to read it. In the family, trust shows itself by not grilling the other person about every detail of his story, like an attorney cross-examining a defendant. It means believing in your children, expressing confidence in them. Sometimes in doing so, you get ripped off when you trust, but love persists in trusting your children. Listen, children, just because your mom doesn't deal with you with your sin or dad doesn't mean the parents don't understand your weakness, that they're just bearing and believing in you. You know what you need to do? Mom and dad is not dealing, you're dealing with mercy. I need to rise to that trust. I need to rise above that and say, Lord, help me. Help me to do things consistent with that trust. Does it make sense? Yes, parents, sometimes we will have to find out the truth. I'm not saying that you don't have to find out the truth, but when the truth is known, we need to still trust our children and say, I know that you can do that. I know that you will still trust God. But my son, my daughter, you need to deal with this, okay? Remember, love always deals with the sin, but love will always trust. In the church, we will always give each other the benefit of the doubt and still express confidence in that person. Even if the person does contrary, we will still keep on loving them. Only God can help us to do that. You know, in the families, in the church, you know, in your workplaces, only God can give us that love that says, I'll still trust that person even though he has offended God and offended people. So love beareth all things, love believeth all things. Number three, love hopes all things. You know why he can bear and believe? Because love has a hope. Okay, and this is important. I believe this might be the anchor point for us to understand why love can actually... Love is never pessimistic. It does not expect the loved one to fail, but to succeed. Love refuses to take failure as final. Just because someone stumbles and falls, love will say, no, I will still keep working with this person. I will still keep working with this person. I will still keep working. Love will not take failure as final. Whether it's character failure, whether it's project failure, whether it's any failure, love will not. Love will persist. Love hopes, because love believes that God is in charge of the situation. You know why we walk out? After, we'll talk about that a bit. But love will not take failure as final. It will always have a godly optimism and say, I know you can do it because in God you are able. And I will keep on believing that God will work in your heart. I will keep on believing because our God, The reason why love continues to hope all things is because the Christian puts God in the equation. You know why we lose hope? You know why we lose hope? We put God out of the equation. That's why we lose hope. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we cannot see. When we put God in the equation, all hope is strong. Amen? When you believe God, and even hope against hope. Remember when Abraham and Sarah, God says, you're going to have a son. Abraham looked at God and said, are you sure? I'm 99 years old. God says, next year you are going to have a son. In Romans chapter 4, it was told to us that Abraham hoped against hope. Love gives us a type of hope that only God can give. You know? Sometimes, oh, to be practical, we have to cut this person off. Genuine love keeps on hoping. Because God is in the equation. To be clear, this kind of love doesn't ignore reality. It doesn't mean that he will ignore the fact that something has happened. Doesn't mean that just because of this, the whole thing is wiped out. Love will continue to hope in that person. This kind of love that hopes doesn't close the eyes to problems, but this kind of love rests on the promise that God is working all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Does that make sense? Can you see the connection? We anchor our hope in God. That's why we can love that person continuously. If God doesn't fail, my love will not fail if I trust Him. There was one evangelist shared, one time Dr. Ron Comfort was sharing, I was listening to his message, how his daughter was giving birth, was married, he was known that this child actually had trisomy 18. You know what's trisomy 18? Trisomy 18 is actually a break in the chromosomal makeup, and there was going to be certain problems with the baby. And the doctor already preempted this mother, Dr. Ron Comfort's daughter, and said, your child may not live. Okay? And at 33 weeks, the doctor received a call. She had to go in. The baby has stopped. The heart has stopped beating. Went to the hospital. And as he entered, evangelist Ron Comfort heard the daughter actually said, in the midst of tragedy, said this, Mom and Dad, isn't God so gracious? Because when the child was born, he didn't know that on top of the problems with trisomy 18, he had a cleft palate, cleft foot, and an underdeveloped lung. And in the midst of that tragedy, you could say, isn't God so good? You see, in the midst of that tragedy, some Christians will say, I know of another Christian who refused to serve God because God took away his first child. And struggled for many years until finally she surrendered, and then God blessed her with a child. I know many Christians, even Christians will say, God, where are you? But no genuine love will say, God, you are so good. Only God can make us do that. Therefore, only God can give us the type of love that keeps on hoping. You know, men, we live a lot by sight. Not just men, but ladies as well. We live a lot by sight. If we don't see things happening, we cannot hope. Genuine love put in our hearts can hope in another person. In Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. That was what Joseph told these people, his brothers. Of the 20 over years ago, brothers, you meant evil. You hated me. You put me away. But you know what? When Joseph, you know, do you realize Joseph actually forgave his brothers? You know what the brothers did? The brothers sold him into slavery under extreme stress. They said, don't do this to me, my brothers! And he was screaming and shouting, and Reuben remembered they rejected his plea. You know, Joseph could have been so angry until he realized the reason why all these things happened, the bad things happened, was because God had a plan. And at the end of their life, after Jacob died, the brothers were concerned, oh, dad's not around. I think now's the time that this Joseph is going to punish us for it. But then Joseph said this, why are you doing this? Genesis 50, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as his day, to save much people alive. Joseph was able to hope and love his brothers again because he did not see the sin that the brother did, but he saw God who was involved in that. The reason why many people cannot continue to persevere, to hope in things, they take their eyes off the God of all hope and place them on hopeless situations. That's why we lose our hope. In this life, where is our faith? Is it in God? You know, if it's in God, we still hope that our children will live for God. Jonathan Edwards, mom and dad. Some of you know Jonathan Edwards, a fiery preacher who preached the message that turned the whole of New England upside down in the 17th century, the sinners in the hands of an angry God. The mom and dad came to the pastor and said, we are very concerned for our son's souls. And you know what the pastor told him? A son of much prayer will not be lost. And true enough, Jonathan Rose became one of the great giants of the Great Awakening. You know, parents, pray and keep on hoping, because your hope in Christ will not make you ashamed. Amen? That's why we keep hoping. Believe in the purpose and promise of God will cause us to treat people by faith. When we love someone who is constantly offending, we are loving that person by faith. Amen? And therefore, we can keep on hoping. That is God's love. If we see men's problems and men's weaknesses, we will give up on them. But when we see from God's perspective, God, you're all powerful. Even though as dad and mom, your heart is breaking because of what's happening in your child's life. But you know, because of your love, because of the love that God gives you, you'll keep on hoping. You'll keep on hoping. And believe in the purposes and promises of God will cause us to treat people by faith, trusting in the plan and the power of God. Therefore, as a believer, we are able to love a person because my faith in that person is anchored in my unwavering faith in Christ. And even if that person fails, I will still keep loving that person because that person cannot take away my faith, which is already anchored in Christ, which will never fail. Does that make sense? That's why the last phrase, charity never fails. That's why as Christians, we can keep on hoping all things. And the final point, love believeth all, beareth all things, love believeth all things, love hopeth all things, and love endureth all things. And this is the thing that we need to understand, mothers, fathers, Sunday school teachers, and whoever, when you see things happening that is not in line, love will endure all things. The word endure here, note it down if you like, is a military word meaning to sustain the assault of an enemy. The word endure is a military word meaning to sustain the assault of an enemy. It has the idea of holding up under trial, of perseverance in spite of difficulties. It will bear under, it sustains. Genuine love will not complain. I say again, genuine love will not complain. Oh, I'm not talking about you only, I'm talking about myself. I know you complain. I wish, you know, I whatever. Genuine love will not complain. When God says genuine love will endure all things. There was one time when I'm the platoon commander of this, and then we infantry soldiers always walk and walk and walk. So at the end of the exercise, we will walk through the whole night, and then we're supposed to kind of stay at this particular place. And you know, if you're walking the whole night, how many of you will feel sleepy? At the end of the day, you don't have to walk through the whole night. You feel sleepy just by thinking of it, I think. But anyway, before the dawn, everyone's supposed to be on alert. Okay? And so as a platoon commander, we're going to check, make sure everyone's alert. And of course, you won't find everyone alert because someone will be sleeping. Okay? And there was this soldier who was sleeping. And I said, the car. You know, how many of you, what is your response when someone wakes you up from sleep? You will get angry. But you know what? This soldier, I don't know how to feel. It was such a refreshing change. You know what he said? Sorry, sir, I'll stay awake. He apologized. It was hard, you know, for soldiers who had to walk the whole night, do different things, and then the moment you sit down, you just want to doze off. But when he was reprimanded, he said, sorry, sir, the spirit was good. He knew his duty. He knew he has to endure. Yes, he's tired. But he knew that he's not supposed to shout at his superior. And I was very encouraged. The whole platoon was a blessing to me, actually. But love endures. It bears up under all persecutions at the hand of man. All efforts to injure that person, property, reputation, bears all that may be laid upon us in the providence and the direct agency of God. That means that no matter what this person has to go through in life, love for the other person will sustain him. I think I shared before, Jonathan Edwards was falsely accused of taking the church's money, and as a result, he was actually forced to resign. I can't remember how many children he has. Jonathan Edwards, 9, 10? Yeah, quite a lot. He had very little support. I think one of his daughters died. You know who accused him? His uncle. 26 years later, the uncle came and apologized to him. But all that time, Jonathan Edwards endured through the false accusations. Parents, are you willing to endure when your children don't turn out what you think they should turn out? And when you're praying and you're not seeing and you're ready to throw in the towel, love endures. What is your motivation? You know, it's so important for us to find out what is the motivation for who we are. Why do we give up? Genuine love will endure. Why do we give up as parents? Why do we give up as Sunday school teachers? Why do we give up as pastors? Because when we are not clear of the foundation of which, when we are dealing with people, the foundation of our brethren interaction is not what we expect another person to be, how we expect the other person to behave. It is not how we want the other person to cater to what we want. You know what the motivation that Jesus gives us? Love. And therefore, because based on God's love, I love the other person, whatever that person does that's contrary to my expectation, I will endure without complaining, trusting in the providence of God to work with that person. And yeah, we will pray, we can admonish, we can rebuke. And you know, most of all, we need to pray with tears sometimes in our eyes. It will bear up all kinds of persecution. You know, as I was thinking of it, it means that love will hang in there. Love is not going to give up. And can I say this, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are genuinely a Christian, the only thing that will bear you up in a situation that you want to give in is when you realize the person or persons that you are going to give up on, you will hang in there because God's love says you hang in there. Because Jesus hung in there for us. Did you know that? When Jesus was on the cross, he could have said, look, I'm going to call angels down and destroy you guys. No, he did not. The people actually told, why don't you come down from the cross? We'll believe you. He saved others, himself cannot save. Jesus bore the ridicule of the people. Why? Jesus knew he cannot come down, right? Because the moment he came down, you and I are on our way to hell. But he bore it. He bore it, the insults of the people. He bore the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. He bore the betrayal of Peter himself, who said, I don't know this guy, 3 times. Everyone left him. They couldn't do anything to help him. And yet Jesus' love hung in there. Do you know what kept him on the cross? Not the nails, it was love. Amen. It was God's love. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, love endures all things. And may we look at God's love from a fresh perspective and say, God, I'm sorry, all the years I have rebelled against you, I have not served you, I gave reasons why I don't do all this and that. And do you realize all the times, listen, teenagers, all the times you will look at dad and mom and say, you guys are hypocrites, and say that I don't believe in the Bible anymore. And to think that all along as you are saying that, God in heaven is looking down, I'll be patient with this child of mine. I will endure. Do you know what enduring means? Think of the picture of endurance in Jesus Christ. When he was whipped, when the crown of thorns was jammed into his head, the only thing I believe very much that sustained him all the way to the cross and die were two things. Number one, he had to fulfill God's word in obedience. And he loved us. Amen? That's why love will endure all things. That's why it dawned on me as I was studying this. That's why Jesus could say, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This author I was reading through, he says there's an epidemic among Christians of bailing out tough situations. When people don't like something that happens in the church, they go find our church much more to their liking. When they run into problems in their marriage, they grow tired of the effort, they want to bail out. But you know, some people will say, but Brother Johnny, you don't know this person did to me. Maybe there was adultery and all that. And so this author says, technically, yes, you can bail out because of adultery, but all too often, one partner uses it as an excuse to bail out of a relationship where both partners have wronged one another repeatedly in many ways. Okay? What this author was trying to highlight is, look, yes, we would offend, but genuine love embedded in God will endure and will work things out. God's best is to forgive and renew the marriage and not to bail out. Because love endures all things. Love endures all things. You endure, don't have this attitude, okay, Lord, no choice, Lord, I just tahan, Lord. That is not endure. Because we all, as Christians, as good Christians, will tahan first. Because we know as Christians, we cannot just walk out. So we tahan. Okay? And then after that, okay, we forgive, but we don't forget. We keep bringing it up. But in Colossians chapter 3, which is very useful for our instruction, when someone offends you, number one, you tolerate that difference. You need to forgive that difference. But in Colossians 3, you say you need to put on charity. Because if you don't put on charity, God's love here, and you don't learn to endure another person's character flaw, you know what happened to that relationship? It will break. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's why God put in the commandment that you are to endure all things. Because in my strength, in my love that I've given to you, I want to put you strongly together so that you can defeat Satan who wants to destroy your family. How many relationships have been broken? Because it's all about self. But God says, and love endures all things. There was one man, not in this church, but in overseas, who has a business. And this pastor was sharing a testimony of this man. And he said this man was a serious Christian. And this pastor was sharing a message on, in my body I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Galatians 6. Okay, that simply means this person identified with Jesus in the marks that Jesus bore on his body, the whipping, the crown of thorns. He said the reason why he saw that was because this man lived with the most annoying wife that anyone would know. Because the wife was chronically ill, her sickness and all the pain in the body made her very bitter. It can happen to people, right? So when you're very sick, you can shout at people and you know, I'm in pain, and everyone that comes is just basically another target for you to vent your frustration on. She demanded almost all of the man's time and energy, and she was never grateful for any single thing that this husband did for her. She complained about life, she complained about him. It's just this illustration, or I'm not pointing anyone, it's just this illustration. She complained about everything else, but this pastor shared that for his part, and this pastor was just writing in his blog and said, I don't know how this man did it, but he remained as gentle and as calm. And he had the utmost patience with this woman. He never spoke ill of her. He never sighed under the burden of a criticism. He was truly a man of God. He had an intimacy with God that was not showy. That means he was very proud of God. But it was very evident. If life had not rewarded him with this outward happiness, he was deeply joyful. In other words, as he went through the tough time with this chronically ill, embittered wife, in his heart, he was quietly joyful. And this pastor was sharing, how could he do it? How could he be so patient and kind and endure all these things despite her ingratitude? And the pastor said this, because he had two covenants that he would never break. Number one, his covenant with God. He said, God, I will be what you want me to be. And I don't care what you put in my life. I will love you first. Above all things. And I don't care what life brings to me. In the worst way, even if it's cancer or even anything, God, my covenant is with you. And your covenant is to make me into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I will submit by your grace and your strength to every situation that comes. He had a covenant with his God. But number two, he had a covenant with his wife. In sickness and in health, I will never leave you. And armed by these two faith in his heart, he continues to grow and continues to be a blessing to the people around him. You see, to love God's way is not to depend on your strength. To love God's way is not to look at the situations. Or if situations change, then I will love God. That's selfish, self-centered love. But God, who have loved us with an eternal love, said, look, love gives first and expects nothing in return. Because genuine love seeketh not her own. Mom and dad, even though you gave all and your children doesn't reciprocate, you've done your job before God. And in your heart, you are not bitter. Your heart, you're just trusting God. You don't hate. You're not bitter. You're not complaining. The Holy Spirit of God will help us. Yes, we will complain because sometimes, many times it's normal to complain. But that's why Paul actually was teaching a more, what? Excellent way. God's way. That when people look at the way we love and say, this guy is different. This person, you know, that this pastor was saying, look, this man is able to bear until all that criticism, yet he's able to press on. No, instead, his longing in his heart was to be the kind of person God wants him to be. That God has to work on the person to make him. And God's plan was to overhaul his life. God many times uses trials to bring us through there. But the Bible says, or rather there's a hymn that says, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. That's what this man wanted. Let me ask you, what do you want out of life? What you want, what God wants for you. The moment you want what you want, you will always be disappointed, your relationships will always be broken, you will always complain, you will always criticize. But when you say, God, I want what you want. And God, whatever is... There was one godly lady who said, God, make me into what you want me to be and send me the bill. Send me the bill. What does it mean? Whatever I need to pay to become more like you, Lord, I'm willing to humbly submit. Love endureth all things. What is it in your life that God has called you to endure? God says, love will endure. The foundation for your wedding and marriage is the love, the enduring love of God. Parents, our love for our children is not just to put up with their, use the word nonsense, but is to love them and say, this is how they are. But Lord, I'm hoping for Christ's likeness at the end. And whatever that goes through in between, I will bear. And Lord, and the reason why I'm bearing with all these things is not because of my strength, it's because of your love in me for them. Does that make sense? Every mom and dad need to be filled with this kind of love for your children. Because our children are sinners and guilty before God, just like us. When Jesus Christ saved us, He was patient with our quote-unquote nonsense. Until finally we say, Lord, I surrender to You. And we come back to Him. In the same way, our children will need to go through, may not need to if they respond to God's word, but sometimes the things they do will break our hearts. But yet, in the broken, do you realize when Jesus died, He also died of a broken heart. But when we have the love of Jesus in our hearts for our children, for Sunday school teachers and youth workers, when we have that kind of heart for our children, and that we will say, Lord, if their lives are broken, mine is too. And we will pray and we will beseech God. And maybe in class they may not be the best children in terms of the way they talk, they will disrupt everyone. But we will say, God, love will endure all these things with the hope that one day, Lord, that You will make them what You want them to be. Christians, we are not talking about a stoic kind of voila, a kind of bear all things. No, we are talking about a love that bears with a hope that our God, who worketh all things after His will turn out the situation in the way that He plans it. It may not be what we may feel that the child should be a certain way. If God loves that individual, God has His plan. And our job is to work with God. And sometimes in our love, by the way, if you genuinely love, you will be hurt. You have to bear with that. If you genuinely love God's way, you will be violated. You will be vulnerable. That's just, Jesus was hurt. Can you imagine the times that God have to bear with us? When we realize that God is still God, His love is still perfect. When I first offended Him, to the millionth time I offended Him, His love is still consistent. That's what it means. When Paul says, love endureth all things. God wants us to love that way. Now as we close, are you having difficulties bearing the wrongs of other people? That you have to. Love doesn't do that. Love will bear. You know where love brings those weaknesses of other people? To the throne of grace. Amen? In prayer. Lord, our fathers and mothers, pray for your children. God, You know my son. He is doing his own thing. God, I need You to work in this life. And love will constantly interact with God, but love will bear the wrong. Love continues to trust. Say, God, this person may have done this, but Lord, I believe him. I believe he is a good man. I want him. I believe, God, that You are going to work in his heart. Love, believe, love, and hopeth all things. Knowing that God is our hope in every situation, even the worst situation, that we can still trust the other person and hope that God will still do the right thing. And God will do the right thing. But you know, the last part is when all things are against you and the outcome doesn't seem good, but you are still willing in love to bear with whoever that person is so that God can execute His will in our lives. All right? So as we consider this, I don't know what you're going through, but may God help us to learn to endure. And the only thing that will sustain you to continue to serve God is your love for Him. Nothing else. Did you know that? When you fully understand God loved me so much, how can I abandon Him over the slightest thing that happened in my life? Amen. And God, I love You. And I know that You can take care of me. And life may give me certain things which You know. And I'm just going to endure because I love You. And as a result, I also will love the people that You put in my life. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, Your love is so wonderful that we cannot explain it well enough. But God, Your love sometimes go against what we think we need to do in someone offending us, in the criticism, in the family, in church, or elsewhere. Many times our love is not the love that You have given us. Humanly, Lord, we will respond by complaining. Humanly, we'll respond by perhaps criticizing sometimes. But yet, Lord, in your word, you are teaching, you want to teach us a more excellent way. And Heavenly Father, I'm praying that all of us will learn the excellent way. That we will not give any reasons that we are human. Yeah, we are human. But that God, you have given us of your spirit. And therefore, we can overcome. With eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask, has God spoken to your heart? And say, Lord, in some areas I find it hard. Humanly, yes, Lord, I can complain and all that, but God, I'm learning that you want me to rise above and to do the more excellent way, that I'll learn to bear, I'll learn to hope, I'll learn to believe, and learn to endure all things, not in my own strength, but with the love that you give to me. If there's someone say, Pastor, pray for me, that God will help me to do these things. There's someone, amen, I see that hand, let's put it up, put it down, amen, I see that hand. Just put it up and put it down, amen. I see wives and husbands, young people as well, anyone else. Then I will pray that God help me to do the more excellent way. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for these brethren who, in their own hearts, Lord, have acknowledged a need. Father, unless you work in their hearts to change their mind and give them faith to trust the steps you want them to take, Lord, their lives will remain largely the same. So, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will give them grace and wisdom to identify, Lord, which area is the trouble. And then, Lord, by your grace, help them to rise above what you want them to be. Help them to be, Lord, the kind of person that loves according to the Scriptures. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray, Father, that as we sing the closing hymn, we sing, Lord, we pray that in our hearts we will genuinely love because of your love. Humanly we will fail, but with God's love we can love, Lord, in every situation. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.